This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A little bit later in the hour, we're going to discuss our picks for kids' holiday presents. But first, how about the adults? What are some of the best seasonal science books to give as gifts or maybe just to keep for yourself or to take your mind off of all this holiday madness? And what books did you like this year? Maybe you found a gem that didn't get a lot of attention. Well, we'd like you to share it with us. So give us a call. Our number, 1-800-989-8255. 1-800-989-TALK. Joining me now to talk about the best science books of the year is Gregory Mohn. He is the book editor at Popular Science Magazine and the author of The Wages of Genius, just out in paperback. Welcome to Science Friday here in New York.
Hello, Ira.
Have you got a favorite this year that you'd like to recommend at the top of your list?
I've got a couple. I was a big fan of Mind Wide Open by Stephen Johnson, which I know you guys did on your show.
Right. Why did you like that so much?
Well, I liked it because, it was funny. This year it was as if the publishing industry had suddenly discovered the brain. You know, as a book editor.
Yes, it's true.
You start getting... You sort of study what sort of books are coming in. We saw a ton of Einstein books and a ton of books on the brain. And most of these were written by neuroscientists, by people who are working in the field, doing the research, which is great. And some of them are very good writers. But Johnson, who's a science writer, he's a columnist for Discover. He sort of can guide you through as someone who's just learning about this stuff himself. He guides the reader through, and it's not quite hand-holding, but it's really... It just brings you along better and lets you learn the subject a little bit easier.
Yeah, and it's a tough subject, so it handles it in a very interesting,
easy-to-digest
way.
Absolutely.
Your next pick.
I also like some of these. We had a few off-the-wall picks. We had a book came in called How to Clone the Perfect Blonde by Sue Nelson and Richard Hollingham.
Who, I guess, punchline at the end of this somewhere.
No, it's fun, you know. It's a book about sort of all the off-the-wall ideas in science, teleportation, time travel, and, of course, cloning the perfect blonde. But it's sort of, again, it moves very slowly, lets you understand everything before it moves on to the next big idea. And it's fun because it's really the wildest ideas in physics.
But it uses that sort of a teaching technique.
Absolutely.
Like a hook to teach you about how this stuff works.
Absolutely.
All right, Nick, keep going. What else?
Let's see. I liked...
Yeah, well, let me just stop. You said something in passing that can't be, I think, like, oh, you talked about the flood of Einstein books, because his centennial is coming up, right?
Absolutely. And I'm, you know, there's a flood of Einstein books in general. I mean, right. You know, there's Einstein, The Passion of a Scientist. There's all, you know, every week you get a different one coming across your desk. There's one, Einstein Defiant, which I liked. This was about a debate between Einstein and Bohr over quantum mechanics. But in another level, it was a neat book because it sort of covered the period where Einstein was, you know, in between Bern and 1905, where he discovered, you know, where he came up with special relativity and all his kind of biggest ideas, and the old man in Princeton, which is sort of, you know, those are the two ends that people think of most of the time. And this is Einstein in Berlin and moving around Europe. So it's sort of an interesting history of an interwar period, too.
Wasn't there a book called Einstein in Berlin? Or also?
There was.
Yeah.
That was a year ago.
Like,
right.
It's all kinds. And it was the book also. There's a whole Einstein collection. Fred Jerome did a book about Einstein being investigated by the FBI. And
right. And all about Einstein's, you know, there's another one, Einstein's illegitimate daughter. And then his, you know, did his wife Mileva actually come up with all the biggest theories?
Is there an angle that hasn't been covered yet in...
I don't know.
What kind of socks he didn't wear or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they have to do his house over. Now they have all these house doing over, what, house changeovers or the one in Princeton? I'm sorry. Go ahead. Makeover.
No, it's kind of, there's endless fodder. It's he's an incredibly interesting subject. I'm guilty of it, too. I wrote a novel about it, but about him and, you know, an office worker thinking he was a reincarnation of Einstein. Kind of a joke, but it's, you know, when you get into these biographies and you start learning more and more about them, it's just an absolutely fascinating subject. So I don't think there really can be enough of them.
Mm-hmm. Let me go to the phones. We may have a suggestion here from Greg in Grand Rapids. Hi, Greg.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, go ahead.
Good. I caught a short history of almost everything on CD over the summer, and I got hooked on it, so I had to go read the book, and I was mesmerized by it. His writing style was so breezy, and there was so much information about such a breadth of topics, but it never got dull. It was always captivating to me. Yeah,
so that's your little gem. Bill Bryson did that, right?
That's right, exactly. Yeah, that's my favorite. I would put that on Christmas lists if people were looking for good science books. Nice overview. It doesn't get too deep. I felt, for me, it got just deep enough into the science of it, but he was very aware. He was very conscious about getting too far into it and losing his readers. So I really enjoyed it. Yeah, good book.
Thanks. Good suggestion. Thanks for calling.
Okay, sure. Happy holidays.
Oh, sorry. I'll cut him off there. You're familiar with that book.
Absolutely. Someone was just talking to me, suggested that in the hallway the other day at work. And it's funny because a lot of these books sort of on the theories of everything and cosmology are cosmologists and physicists sort of coming down from the theoretical heavens and talking to us in our language, supposedly. And usually that lasts for about 100 pages, and then everybody gets confused and puts it down and leaves it on their coffee table. Bryson's great because he's a travel writer. He's a great writer. He's done a lot of different books, but he's sort of learning this stuff for the first time with you, and it is a fantastic book, and I think it was rightfully a big, huge, giant bestseller.
Now, I understand that you like a book called Moon Rush. Tell us about Moon Rush. Improving Life on Earth with the Moon's Resources by Dennis Wingo.
Now, this is something of a popular science book, admittedly. Yeah. This is the sort of thing that's getting renewed attention because of Bush's plan to shift the emphasis in NASA's planning towards returning to the moon and eventually going on to Mars. The ideas in it are not brand new. I mean, they've been tossed around in science fiction forever. You know, other people have talked about how to use the moon's resources to improve life here on Earth, but I think it's interesting just in the sense that you pick up a book like this, you start reading it, and you say, wow, someone's actually thought this out. He has a real plan that he believes in, you know, where we can go to the moon, we can send private companies there with government funding, and they can do things like, one of his suggestions is mining platinum on the moon, that would lead to cheaper fuel cells, which might lead to them being more economically competitive with the internal combustion engine, and it goes on and on. So it's not...
But he thinks outside the box a little bit.
Absolutely,
That's what I like to hear about. I think people think outside the box.
Absolutely, and it even has a very fun picture on the cover of robots and astronauts on the moon and everything.
1-800-989-8255. Let's see if we've got time for a call for Joyce from San Antonio. Hi, Joyce.
Hi. This is kind of, I was going to have her write down the question and take it off the air, so you may not know this off the top of your head. Last year for Christmas, I didn't get what I wanted, so I'm going to buy it for myself this Christmas if I can find it. There's a history of geology. It had old maps in it. The fellow who didn't get credited because he wasn't quite noble enough or something, that discovered geology. Oh dear!
The guy who discovered you? No, I remember. I know there have been books about geology in recent years.
Yeah, there was one that came out a little over about a year. I wanted it last year, so it's a little over a year ago. And I was hoping maybe...
You know, Joyce, we can't get it for you if you don't tell us the title of it.
I don't know the name of it.
And all your friends and relatives listening. Oh, I see.
That's why I can't find the book.
Did you Google it, or go to Amazon?
I tried. I'll try again.
All right.
Thanks.
Good luck to you. Yeah, geology is a tough subject, too. But some people have treated it very well, haven't they?
Absolutely. I vaguely remember this book. I wish I could remember.
John McPhee did a great book on geology years ago.
That's right. Absolutely.
And he went across the country with the best geological finds. All right, give us another. We've got a few minutes left. Give us another couple of hits on your hit list.
I've got another fun one called Uncork, The Science of Champagne.
By?
Gérard Liget-Belair. I might be testing the limits of my French there, but he's a physicist at the University of Reims in the Champagne region. And basically, it's a story. He, in the middle of exams when he was still a PhD student, he stopped for a beer and was procrastinating and stared a little bit too long at the bubbles. And a few years later, we get this book, which is essentially, as he calls it, it's a convergence of his interests in fluid dynamics and photography, where he used high-speed photography to study the bubbling process in Champagne. And it's a fun book.
We have a winner. I wish I had a bell for the geology book. It may be the map that changed the world. Simon Winchester, I'm told. I think our producers, who know everything, told me this. So I take no credit, but maybe they'll get it. Well, maybe that's the book she's been looking for. 1-800-989-8255 is our number. Let's see if we can get one more from Will in St. Louis. Hi, Will.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, go ahead.
I'd like to recommend Alice W. Flaherty's. That's F-L-A-H-E-R-T-Y. The Midnight Disease, The Drive to Write, Writer's Block, and The Creative Brain. It's I'm almost done reading it, and it's a wonderful book about writer's block, hypergraphia, which is the drive to write, and the causes and possible neurological implications and psychological conditions and the like. It's explained an awful lot to me about mental disease and the like, because she expands this subject into a lot of different areas. She's a very well-known neurologist who has gone through some of the sorts of treatment herself for her own conditions, and she's a very good writer. The nice thing is that for people who are not strictly scientists, I, for example, was an English major who have been interested in science all my life, this ties in literary things with scientific things.
Wow, that's great. Thanks for that suggestion.
Sure.
And have a happy holiday.
You too.
1-800-989-8255. What about in the few minutes a nice coffee table book? You got a coffee table book recommendation?
Absolutely. I have a couple of these. One that just came out recently is called Earth from Space by Andrew K. Johnston, and it's a collection of satellite photography. It's sort of, as you look through it, it sort of becomes a kind of a puzzle book, not exactly in the Where's Waldo sense, but you look at these things and you honestly have no idea what they are at first. You
know? Oh, I see.
Yeah. You know, there's a river delta in Russia that's absolutely gorgeous, and it looks like, you know, what could that be? What on earth could that be? Glaciers, mountains, different things. It's really, really a neat book. And then the author, Andrew Johnston, has great little captions alongside with each photo, so you know where it came from, what it is, what you're seeing. It's a lot of fun. It's something that's just great. That's just to open up and look at and browse through.
One more. You got another coffee table? Quick.
Magnificent Mars by Ken Croswell, which actually came out at the end of last year. This is great. It's a good book because Mars is in the news right now. It's something everyone's talking about, and I think it will be for a little while longer. It's a gorgeous book. I think it will be obviously added to as we keep getting more and more of these great images. But it's fun, and it's fun to learn about the red planet.
Any trends? You talked about the Einstein trend, and a lot of, you know, even our caller had kept up with the brain trend. Any other trends you can project?
I see the Einstein thing
getting
even stronger.
Because next year is, you know, the 1905 paper is 100 years later.
Absolutely.
And so we should all be watching out for the Einstein flood.
Absolutely. And there are also a couple of Earth and economic history.
And we're seeing more of these little memoir books, right, about individual people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's there's one series out from, I think it's Atlas Books from Norton, called the Great Discovery Series.
Right.
And these have been, if the first few are any indication, this is great and it's something to follow. There was one on Cantor and Infinity from David Foster Wallace. And then more recently, Michio Kaku again on Einstein.
Right. And we'll be, because we get all these books and we'll be covering a lot of these authors as they come through. So it sounds like an exciting year coming up and an exciting reading coming ahead. I want to thank you very much, Greg.
Thank you.
For taking time to join us this afternoon, talk about holiday books you might want to buy for people you know. Gregory Main is is a book editor
right.
at Popular Science Magazine and author of The Wages of Genius. What's that book? A quick summary of that book?
It's quickly a young person in an office thinks he's going to be the business version of Einstein.
Wow. All right. There's another pick for you this hour in Science Friday. Thanks a lot, Greg, for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll be back and talk about gifts for kids. Some really good picks we have. So get that pencil sharpened. We'll be right back after this short break.